It's like,
ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And we are joined by very special guests,
Will Bradshaw,
Brianna Cecile.
Yay!
Jess Hands.
Yay! Uh-huh. They can't see.
I'm going to scoot this between you.
I tried originally, but it. Slightly yeah. More.
So that you guys don't have to spoon. You still may spoon.
I mean, you know. Spooning. We're not judgy. I want booze.
Yeah.
All right.
Boozes.
Okay. So, as one of the many, many, many gifts that we have received from Mud Steffen.
Yay, Mud!
Yay, Mud! We got a bottle of UV chocolate cake.
Yes.
And universal mixer, proven here in the lab itself, Dr. Pepper, will accompany it. So
we'll see.
First, let's get the nose of it.
Oh, actually, I love quite the chocolate. Nose of that. Are you
it's
kidding
got
me?
A chocolatey
damn.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
That's delightful.
Yeah. All right. And bottoms up.
Do it.
That's impressive.
Oh, that's delightful.
Delirious.
I was talking about something
lovely.
No, you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of a Black Forest cake.
This
yes.
Oh, absolutely.
That is what this oh, drink God, is officially yes.
Time to make another.
The Black Forest.
No, wait.
Oh.
About
wait.
Three shots. Oh, yeah.
What? The grenadine oh, has right. come out.
Okay, here we are.
Well, you're going to have to make another, James, because
yeah.
you
so
downed that
about,
son of a bitch.
Oh, two shots.
It turns out I needed sugar.
Chocolate cake, Dr.
I'm
Pepper, and
some
cherry grenadine
yeah.
is now called
probably
a
not
Black
that much
Forest.
For you.
And
where
yeah,
are you?
I don't know if it's grenadine this way. This is
I hope
no
they're not. Oh, God.
Will.
He's opening the cabinet.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. No.
Ah!
I
hate you all.
Fuck.
All right.
It's been a week. It's had a God, I love you.
God damn it.
Hey, do you want to hear a fart joke?
Yes. All day, every
oh
day.
God.
I love this podcast.
What did one burp say to the other?
Ooh, what did one burp say to the other?
You want to be stinkers and come out the other end?
Oh.
Told
I get
to
it.
Me by a 3-year-old.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, that might be a good place to start, actually. What fun interactions have you been having at a festival?
All of them.
All of them?
All of them is the answer.
Excellent.
Between two different puppets, there really isn't something that's not fun, besides jerk little kids, but...
it's like, there's nothing which isn't fun, except
oh,
this
yeah.
one very specific thing.
Yeah,
which
the
isn't.
Tiny splash of grenadine gives it a really
Woo!
Nice black forest.
I'm excited.
I made yours fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a thing now.
The other joke that was told
Ooh.
To us was by a 4-year-old whose mother was currently holding it.
Thank you.
We asked him if he knew any jokes, and the mom's like, oh, no, he doesn't. And he's like, yes, I do. And
oh, God.
Mom looks at him strangely.
Well, there's that one that
like,
dad told.
What did the dad beaver say as his kids were coming home? And we're like, what did the dad beaver say? Shut the damn door. And both his parents
Oh, my
just
God, yes.
blank faces and then burst into laughter. So bad that they have to set him down. And they're like, honey, where did you learn that? And he gets this look on his face. I don't know.
Yes.
So my daughter told us a joke this weekend.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
And she is 4, so bear in mind. No, Ooh. She. We're walking along.
Oh, my
and,
God,
and she
that's
just,
good.
She volunteers, Mama, Papa, I want to tell you a joke. We're like, okay.
What does a
frog do when he loses his shell? What does a frog do when he loses his shell? He grows a new one.
Ah! Yay!
We're like, what?
Okay.
She thought it was hilarious.
Well, she's not wrong, but the joke isn't the joke. It's you guys and
yeah.
your reaction
I mean,
to
you
the joke.
Are the joke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she was delightful.
Well, let's admit, 90% of what is done in puppets isn't for the kids.
No.
It's for the parents watching
absolutely.
The kids
Yeah, I one of my bits with kids is, you know, there's a kid in a stroller or just whatever, and I just, it's the super little ones, the ones that aren't quite to talking level yet, and I have a coin belt, so I shimmy my butt at them, right? It's not always for the kids, but, you know, like, oftentimes the parents appreciate that too, but the kids love it. They're like, I'm like a human rattle. Great.
I was in Shirley this weekend, and I saw a little girl with a jingle belt, and I was trying to get her to jingle with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I accidentally started singing, my jingles bring all the kids to the yard. And then I realized that I probably shouldn't do that. But the kid loved it.
Right. So see, it's perfect. Yeah. See, that's the perfect type of joke. Because it's kind of what I dubbed the Shrek jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Because
the idea, especially out at Renaissance Festival, is to create humor which can be played at two different levels. One for the kids and the ones who don't quite get it. And then there's this second level just right above the kids' heads, which are actually for the adults, who are the ones who have the money to put into the hat at the end.
Yep.
And so the kids love it, and then the adults love that the kids are laughing, but don't really
get the whole joke.
Get the whole joke.
In you
I call
it
Muppet jokes.
Yes, Muppet. For everyone who were just listening,
Pixar
to...
is really good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I actually just got one of the jokes in Shrek, and I feel very sad. Which one?
Okay,
which one?
Right.
Which one? Sure.
Farquaad.
Oh, yeah.
Compensating for something?
No.
The name, Farquaad.
The name, Farquaad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't get that until this year.
We actually don't say fuck on this podcast.
Ah, fuck.
I just said fuck, and I'm definitely joking.
Shit, Jesus Christ.
So I hear about...
Don't break the guests, James.
Bringing this back, I hereby dub Dr. Pepper with chocolate cake, UV vodka, and a little bit of grenadine to be a Black Forest cake.
Oh my God, it's good.
And it's,
I think
it's
Will said
solid.
This like 5 minutes ago.
He's making it an official thing. Yeah.
This is official.
This isn't, oh geez, this is
what
thing. It tastes like. This is what it is.
Yeah.
No, I'm curious to try a little bit of something else.
You will have plenty of opportunity.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, did I see Fireball somewhere over there? I saw the Stoner's Cherry.
Something like that.
I mean,
you know, we could just pour some corn whiskey.
We could pour some corn whiskey moonshine in there, and it would be like Fireball.
I mean,
you can make a Fireball with it.
Yeah.
Burn, baby, burn. Disco Inferno.
Anyway.
I am cinnamon. Okay. Yeah. Well, this has already gone off the rails.
Woo!
We had rails?
No.
Do we have rail drinks?
So tell us, because some of the listeners may not be familiar with Shirley. When you said that you're in Shirley in front of the children,
elaborate.
Not in front of the children.
So there are six puppets that were made for Fest back in the 70s and have been redone several times throughout the history of them, and they get handed over every couple of years to a new batch of people. But the one that has stayed consistent is there is a jester.
What kind of puppets?
Big, giant, backpack-style body puppets.
Ooh.
And Shirley is the jester and has always gone by the name Shirley I Jest. Or Shirley You Jest, depending on who's playing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always played as a Shirley You Jest back when I did puppets when I first started out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Oh, way back in the day.
Many years ago.
When dinosaurs roamed the earth!
Yeah. No, Will Bradshaw's too good for us now.
Guys, I'm pretty sure he was too good for us before that.
I just hadn't figured it out.
Just hoping that Bree doesn't realize the same shit. Did I say it out loud?
You did.
Oh, no.
Pretty sure she already knows it, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good.
No, we have... What? Were you going
to... What?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to cough.
Yes,
and then
I think you better had.
Hold on. So, three of the five of us have done puppets, correct?
I have been in a puppet. Everyone has done a puppet at least once.
Yeah.
The only puppet I've done, P.S., because I was told nobody could make it entertaining, was the old hag.
That we turned back into the pirate that it was supposed to be?
Right.
That explains the fingers.
Mm-hmm. Well, it switched several times between being a pirate and a witch.
Yeah. No, I can totally see it.
So I did the old hag once, and they were right. I made children cry.
Yep. That
didn't
was
try.
Terrifying.
It was horrible.
Well, I mean, there's two ways that you can go with the puppets when you're in it.
I made an impression.
Yeah, and that's the important thing. Yeah. So these puppets, when you wear them, are about, I'd say, what, 8, 9 feet tall? Yeah.
They are whatever you are.
Really depends on the legs.
Yeah, about 3.5 feet on top.
So they're 4 feet for me.
Yep.
Right, and they have these giant hands, and you can either do one of two things. If you know how to interact with people, you can be the sweet, adorable puppet thing, or else you can be a thing of nightmares.
I was trying to be sweet and adorable. It went poorly.
Or you can switch back and forth in the same
room. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Really mess with their minds.
Uh-huh.
I went the lovable doofus route.
Yeah.
I was in the king, and I did the blustery English gentleman. What is this? You know, that sort of woofiness. That's what's totally a word.
Let's go with it. Lean into it. All right.
A lot of bluster, but not much. A lot of bluster, but not much.
You have to have a finger mustache to do it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What I mean, it's called game of character.
I haven't quite hit menopause yet. Okay, I'm working on the facial hair.
Anyway, one of my favorites is watching Jessica Tweet or Laura Johnson play the Temper Tantrum King. Because they just play this full-on, entitled, I don't want to go to front gate kind of
game. Oh, my God.
When I was minding, like, 3 or 4 different puppets outside of front gate for the leaving procession, Tweet was in the king puppet and was ordering me to go tell the king...
Yep.
That he's not a king.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the puppet king.
Yeah.
He's the body double
for
King Bubba, our puppet king.
Right.
So that King Bubba doesn't get assassinated.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, and?
Fortunately, at that moment, I didn't have to make a decision because Kyle, as the pirate, went running off just... Full tilt, like leaning, arms flailing behind him, running to the other side, and I was like, left. Ran after, because we had 3 handlers on the end where all of the other puppets stayed mostly kind of in bounds, but no, Kyle just fucked right off. And
You've never spotted for me and Shirley.
No.
Oh, God.
No.
Dan Ruby,
I've
who runs
the puppetry.
Heard
that you're very fast.
Dan Ruby, who runs the puppetry, gave this advice to all of the rookies this year for spotting me.
Sure.
Just try to keep up.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Yes.
Oh. And he, Will, is worse than I am.
I on Festival Friday, I'm a creature of no fear, because normally on Festival Friday, when... all the high schools come in.
Mm-hmm.
The puppets are told you just shouldn't go out. You shouldn't go out because you have a tendency of getting mobbed.
Yeah.
And completely fearless.
Okay. Let me clarify. Not mobbed in the sense of like people running up wanting to see you. Mobbed in the sense of several of them grabbing you and holding you while the others hit you.
Yeah, yeah. Mascot problems.
Right, mascot problems. But a creature... on those days, I become not the cute, adorable puppet. I become the puppet of nightmares. And it's just amazing because if you come in with confidence, the entire group of kids just explode and like you come running at them, and fight or flight just goes in and they just go poof.
It was like watching a school of fish with a predator swimming through because they would like let him come through and scatter and then rejoin back to him and run the opposite direction.
And the idea is I used to do the puppets as a kinesthetic exercise. So I would find whichever one ran the fastest and that would be the chew toy of my shirt. I would literally, whoever this poor soul would be, I would chase them as far as they would run. And I was practicing running at that time, so I figured it was a fair advantage, but I was running with a 35-pound backpack on
right,
my back.
Yeah, right.
And I literally chased some of these people all the way around the festival grounds, which is about an acre.
Yeah.
And I would just chase them. One time I was spotting for you while you did this. and you chased a pair of them into the glass shop and then spent 15 minutes pacing back and forth across the entrance and exits of the shop, doing the Jaws theme.
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
You have to come out eventually.
I'll keep waiting.
Yep.
Oh my god. Jesus Christ. Yay. Well, this makes me so happy.
And you were talking about somebody that you came across, actually, I think last time that we saw each other, who was saying, oh yeah, festival was really nice, except, man, there was this thing that chased after me and my friends. This was the first time you met this person, right?
Yep.
So remind me of that story, because I don't have all of it.
Oh, God, I don't even remember all of it.
It was like an improver, right? And they
came by. Yeah, about these terrifying puppets, and then I had to break it to them that that's what I do out there.
Right, and that it was me as well, coming in and just terrorizing these poor people.
That's delightful.
Thanks. It's delicious.
But it's one of the two ways, and what it comes down to, at least on a theater sense, it's kind of, when I do this, I see it as almost a sacrificial lamb situation. So the person who's being chased in that is having a very unique experience.
Yes.
Terrifying.
Yes. But unique experience.
Yep.
Which they'll tell to their family and friends for the rest of their lives. And then everybody else in the festival that sees this going on is having just the most hilarious, ridiculous.
I'm glad it's not me.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, I will bet that you probably did not get picked on in that puppet.
Oh,
at all?
Oh yeah, no. When I'm in a puppet on Festival Friday, it's played by my rules.
That's fair. Because it's at that point, it's an act of survival.
Oh right. Yeah. I mean, it's about as guerrilla theater as you can possibly get.
And you're the gorilla.
And I'm the gorilla.
Yeah. Good.
R.I.P. Hombre.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
like
second weekend of Fest happened.
Better. Yeah, how is that for you?
That was a weird weekend.
How's your throat?
I gotta say, my throat's fine.
Things go better this weekend?
So, dear listener, this is what happened. We walked in, we got to cast call on Saturday morning, and the forecast at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning said it was going to rain all day Saturday. Mm-hmm. Rain all day Sunday, and it was going to be fucking miserable. And here I am going, I cancel my shows if it's wet because rusty sores don't taste good, and canceled events because there's not going to be anybody here because of rain and stuff like this. This is going to be a really shitty, slow day.
Hmm.
And lo and behold, the rain held out. The sun came out both days. It didn't rain until we had a downpour at like 5:30 p.m. on Sunday.
It was torrential.
Well, I'll tell you a story about that.
But in the meantime, the fire was gorgeous. The crowds were generous. I had a great goddamn weekend. Mm. I really did. I had a lot of fun. Did a lot of shows. Taffy.
Is he fucking with you again?
Yeah.
Yay!
No, it's a lot of fun. There's a dynamic that I missed doing solo shows all over the place. There was that somebody to pick on.
Taffy and Angus were together backstage, and I was talking to them, and I said, "You guys want to hear the dumbest question?" And they were like, "Sure." And I was like, "How long have you two been twins?" And I just wrote it. I got on that horse and I just like looked at them very earnestly. Like it, and then I couldn't, because they both were so stunned, I couldn't help but laugh. So I managed to keep it together for 30 seconds before I got bucked off of that. And they were like, that is the dumbest question. You're right. That's very dumb. Yeah. But that was spectacular. So you've been fucking with Taffy.
I have. As the days go by, our relationship is improvised a great deal, and so that is not what improvised means.
I've been doing it wrong.
Yes.
Also, Bree, I'm sorry.
Significantly.
Also, Will, I'm very sorry. Also, Jenna.
I'm not sorry at all.
Yeah.
I think she signed on for it.
But yeah, I started after I eat my first torch, I get a really bad look on my face, and then I wipe my tongue off on his shirt. Which is fun. Yeah, no, he's my whipping boy, and it's great. Yeah, no, I just...
Nothing you have said has changed his appropriateness of that.
Not at all. Nope. It's almost like I know what I'm saying. Oh.
But we know that you don't, honey. That's the problem.
Yeah.
No, he's just...
Trust us, this is all made up.
No, and special events were great. I think only one special event was canceled all weekend.
The wine show. Yep, one of the wine shows.
But yeah, great crowds, really receptive crowds.
Yeah.
Cheering.
I mean, Feast Hall is always full, so yeah. I really don't have anything to gauge with from that. The audiences were fun.
And my sister and her family were out on Saturday. They got to see the show and cringe at the fact their brother was doing that stupid stuff.
Yeah. I still have not gotten to see your show.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, it'll make you gag. Mm.
I mean,
I like how. So, for those of you at home right here who didn't just see what we did, she said, "I haven't seen your show yet," and Salsa just immediately looked at the wall,
like,
which happens to have about five or six swords
on it.
And an axe. Just, and he just took a look at it, and you could just see the. I bet I could swallow that look on his face.
He's not looking at the wall at the weapons. He's grocery shopping right now. There's a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, this was a wonderful weekend for me out at... I have no idea what that was.
Poltergeist.
There was a test tube for shot purposes.
Fine.
I just heard it.
You haven't let the pet spider out yet.
No, we captured a spider.
A fierce predator.
It is inside of a block of Legos.
Not as fierce as Shirley.
Yeah.
No.
Of course not.
No. That's... I'm gonna... Oh, it's so good. Oh my god, it's so good.
I mean, do you currently puppet as well? Or
I try to. I'm not. I mean, I've been in
like
one.
Twice?
I've spotted twice.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, just jumping in.
Oh, man.
Because, I mean, as soon as you find a runner, I mean, one that goes, and hides behind their friend, just chase after them and try and get them away from their friend.
I just love spiraling around their parents. That's fun. My parents will just stand there as I just go around.
My favorite things about you being Shirley is that Shirley is extremely tall 90% of the time. Except
go on.
I know exactly when it's Bree because it's just two little legs sticking out the bottom. And it's hilarious because you also like lean a little bit when you run, like you and you let Shirley's arms just do whatever. So it's like a cartoon. It looks like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Nice. Life goal accomplished.
And like and just like arms flailing and flapping and like going nuts, and then legs just like Velma Dinkley from the cartoon just. Underneath, and it looks like they're going around in a circle, and it's great.
You know what this means, Bree?
What does this mean, Jenna?
It means you can defy gravity so long as you don't look down.
Perfect.
Hooray!
There you go.
Woo! All right. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's you're a tremendous Shirley, and it's fucking great. But
aww,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Aww,
so, but
this got real.
Aww.
The idea. Now I'm just like imagining Shirley like slightly stompy walking, mm-hmm. like and arms again just like rubbery noodles mm-hmm. outside of a shop, just back and forth, mm-hmm. like head bobbing slightly.
Yep.
did you hear that I hit the king with Shirley's shoulder this weekend?
What?
Wait, the owl king or the puppet king?
The real king.
Right.
The one that does the knighting ceremony.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The shorter one.
Yes.
Ah.
So I was really tired Sunday. I pushed myself way farther than I should have.
Oh.
So when I went out for my run on Sunday afternoon, I told my spotter this might be a weird one, and we walked over towards the arbor, and I saw Comedia all asleep on the arbor stage.
Mm-hmm.
Asleep, in quotes. And I sit down in the audience, because there's an audience gathered just watching them sleep. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dear listeners, that is absolutely a thing that will happen. I have taken naps before and woken up to people taking your picture.
Right?
That happens.
That's actually how I started my dead mind bit. Mm. That's how my dead mind bit originally started. And it built from there. So I was taking a nap.
I asked one of these kids what's going on, and his response was, all the comedians are sleeping. So immediately, as Shirley, I'm like, well, I'm a comedian, and went up on stage and found a way to lay down on the stage against the rocks in Shirley and took a nap in the puppet. And it was surprising.
I mean, that's weirdly comfortable, yeah.
It was, because I had padding in there.
Yeah,
so that
it's like being in a papoose.
Yeah. Aww. And I had, like, some kids come up and chat with me while I was up there, and one of them tried to steal Bob's hat. And
no.
Bob is Shirley's... the Shirley puppet hand has a puppet in its hand.
It's puppetception.
Puppetception, yeah. Yep.
Sorry.
It's Jester's bauble.
So at some point, the court started coming up for the knighting ceremony, and a couple people like warned Comedia, like, hey, you've got like 6 minutes. And then the king comes up on stage, and he makes some comment about who killed all the Italians. And then they start waking up and doing their bits and scampering off the stage. And I'm trying to wake up and stand up. And he leans down to try and help me and grabs my arm. And I'm like, hey, you don't want to help me. Saying this quietly so that the audience can't hear, because we've got a giant audience at this point.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you don't want to help me. This will be easier without your help. And he's like, no, I've got to help you. And saying this like super loud. And I'm like, all right. So he starts trying to pull me up by one arm.
By a puppet arm.
He at least grabbed my real wrist.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He grabbed my real
wrist.
A wise
decision. I was just let
that hand pop up. Just a flailing arm noodle in the middle of the air, just like a snake.
But I'm sitting like with my butt on the ground, legs out in front of me, which is not a good position to get up from a puppet in, because you have 30 pounds of weight on your back.
Yeah.
Right.
Starts trying to pull me up, and all of a sudden I hear him go, oh, that's my face. And I end up finding out that my shoulder of the puppet rig had hit him in the face while he was trying to help me stand up. So I finally get up, and I'm looking around, like, amazed that there's an audience in puppet character. And then one of Comedia yells from off stage, Shirley, you're supposed to scamper! And I go barreling down the aisle to run away from the king and run directly into the queen.
Oh my god, it's a twofer! You got him both!
Managed to avoid hitting her at all and scamper off.
Nice.
But it might have been my favorite nap time
it's,
ever.
Oh my god. It's puppet pinball. Did they make loud dinging noises as you caromed off of them?
Yeah, I do not have stories that good from last weekend at all.
I have one for after when Jenna tells hers.
Okay. I have two stories. Both of them involve evening court. Evening court Saturday. Yes.
This is the story of evening court.
Yeah. The
puppets are real.
Oh god. The evening court dance. Maybe I should clarify. I do that. That's like one thing that I do with Jessa throughout the days. I go do the court dancing with Jessa because it's fun, and we get to we get to be our characters but still be interacting. And I don't get to street much, so you know, because stupid events.
I love doing court dancing with the puppets.
Oh hell yeah. I'm doing court dancing as a gypsy. I can play it trash. I can play it sexy. I can do it like however the fuck I want. Mm-hmm. So
Shirley jumping in on that one where you steal partners is fun.
Yeah. So, Saturday, go to do court dancing, and the queen shows up. And I do my spinny grovel.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where I twirl because I've got like the full skirts, and I twirl and then drop. So I've just got this circle around me. And then like I drop, and I dropped. I did this particular drop on my knees, which was fine. And, you know, lean forward, whatever. And she's doing her, you know, rise you up, rise you up. And I'm like, oh, but I want to be down here by your feet and bask in your glorious and all of this other stuff. And she's like, oh, does somebody want a treat? And she had like a little mini marshmallow. And so I went, oh, yeah. And I went into full puppy dog mode. And I was like, yeah, 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 yeah. And so she feeds me this little marshmallow, and then she scratches my ears. And because of how I landed, I was able to, and like I'd push my, so I was basically in like a puppy dog position, I got to like bang my feet against the ground, and she was scratching my ears.
Don't you miss it, Will?
It's delightful.
You know. I don't.
Oh, it was delightful.
There's so many wonderful things about it.
Cake in my lungs.
There's parts that I deeply miss, and it was time for me to step into something else.
Next, he's gonna tell us it's not us, it's him.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's not.
And
he's
working on who he is as a person, and. He doesn't see how that meshes with us as a festival.
So it sounds like you've had experience with this puppy routine before.
Yeah.
I've done the puppy routine many times.
It's like she had a mystery date
on
like
all
that
fours.
Once.
Yeah. Yep. It's very true. Anyway,
she was improvising. James.
I was improvising. Yes. So Sunday, court dance.
How will I pay for this pizza?
Oh, God.
Okay.
So Sunday court dance. We started off, and the skies were cloudy, but it was nice out, and the sun shining, and so we start doing our dances, and then we start doing, we're only about halfway through the evening court dance, and we start doing this one dance, and it starts to rain. Mm. We're like, okay, whatever, we're going to do our thing. And then it starts to rain more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, and now we're kind of questioning our decision to keep going, but let's do it. And then just like the floodgates open and we are all dancing in puddles, like actual puddles. And we're supposed to be doing like this grapevine thing and this stompy thing and like all of, like there's a spinny bit. And all of these court people have hats with brims. And... I do not. I wear flowers in my hair. Like, that's it. So all of these people have their brims, and I'm like, doot, doot, doot. And we're supposed to be clapping during this dance, too. Like, it's like, doot, 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 clap, 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 doot, 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 clap, clap, clap. So, like, during this dance, I've got the hands, like, in front of my eyes trying to prevent this downpour from going into my face. Not working at all. Like, yeah. I did half the dance with my eyes closed. And we'd go, do, 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 and I'd yell, clap, clap, clap. Do, 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 clap, clap, clap.
Yeah, pulling a BJ, I see.
Yeah, basically. So we did all of that, and they were like, okay, and we're done. And I'm like, yeah, we are, because it's still, like, just coming down.
Yeah.
I look like a drowned rat, but the part that was an absolute bitch is I got makeup in my eyes. And I was just like... I think I'm just done for the day. Like, once my eyes start burning, I feel like I get to call it quits. So, yeah. Like, I get upstairs and, like, I look like a drowned rat. I, like, straight up just look like, whoosh, like I'd been swished away in the sewer. And, like, but all of my eye makeup was running. So it was like this drowned rat left at the altar kind of look, which was the sexiest
emo thing. Gypsy.
Oh my god! Yes. And I get upstairs
and see, what does it say about me that my mind immediately went to Gypsy Crow?
Oh, that's a good call.
Oh, nice.
It was way more runny, but yeah.
I know what Jenna's doing for Halloween now.
Yeah. I get upstairs and Molly's up there. She goes, "What the hell happened to you?" And I'm like, "I got my whore makeup in my eyes."
Fuck.
So yeah, that was my Sunday downpour story. That yep.
Delightful.
Yep, that happened. Mm. Anyway, James, you had a story.
Yes, I discovered something stupid.
Again, still
always
consistently. Okay,
something new that's very stupid.
Okay.
So my intention, two podcast episodes ago, I had talked about, you know, how I felt like my Squire character was going to be, that he was going to be kind of the straight man, you know, like trying to get his cousin out of trouble. Nope.
No.
Nope.
Nope. We're both just...
dumb.
Oh my God.
The dumbest.
You are wonderfully dumb.
Seriously are...
Oh, we're just like...
Like doofus level 27.
And heckling each other, yeah. And then heckling everyone else, and then asking them for jobs. And
yes.
It's fun. I discovered that because both of us have a kazoo and Kyle has the world's loudest kazoo, that together we're a bagpipe. Which is real dumb.
Yeah.
So he'll just do the drone thing, just into this enormous like foghorn.
Is that the green thing
kazoo
that he
yes.
uses?
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah, that looks like a 1930s bug sprayer. And
it really does. That's accurate.
So it's very loud, and he's like, yeah, I can do this all in one breath, but I'm gonna gasp. Often for comedy. So it's just. Yeah. And in the meantime, I'm playing loudly and badly whatever song I think would be not usually Scotland the Brave, but whatever thing comes to mind. And this came up during a conversation with the Queen. Queen Mary. The fun queen, as she puts it. the queen who likes fun. She stopped us on the street. We were groveling, not spin groveling.
No puppy dog.
Not nearly that talented. And
no, let's just do dive bomb grovels.
Yeah.
Which... I did that for the prince because the prince walked past and I was like, oh, I have food and everything in my hands and what do I... And I like set it down and then like covered the back of my head and he said, no, it's too late. It's too late. So then the next time that I saw him, I just dove, just straight, and he was like, much better. That's but the queen, I got like good deep bow in and everything, and so she's having this conversation. She goes, oh, and what do you two do? And so we're trying to think of the most impressive things that we can, and I'm like, oh, and we have musical talent, and she goes, like, she gives like perfectly dubious look. And I'm like, I'm elbowing Kyle, and he's like, no. All right, we're doing it.
I'm committed now.
We play something, and she goes, that was lovely, lovely. You know, my husband, the king, is very sad, and I think that's just exactly what he needs to cheer him up. Can I send both of you on a quest to go cheer up my husband with some of your lovely bagpiping? Yes. All but ran.
This is lovely.
And then, so we're there, and the sheriff and Sir Guy are there, and they're taking bets between them on which one of us they'll need to kill first. And we do this thing, and the king says, my ears are bleeding. I died a little bit, he says. But he says, do you have any other skills? Any musical talents? And I said, I can make hand farts and whistle. I can whistle. He goes, oh, excellent. Whistling and hand farts. Tell you what, why don't you go and treat my beloved queen to some of your genteel hand farts and whistling while your cousin, the large one, does a jig around you, please. If you would, very kindly, go and we're like, yeah, all right. So then we like back slowly. We're bowing and backing away and then making a run for it. And as we're leaving, he's like, tell them Sir Guy sent you. Right. Not him, Sir Guy. And so we get up to the queen at the court dance. And we were hanging around making trouble with some of the other patrons and, you know, doing whatever, you know, like some of the patrons that are around and not in the courtly dance. And once we turn around after doing whatever bedlam stuff, and she's there. Yes. there is a message for you. And we commit this atrocity with gusto, just, you know, hand farts. Rhythmic hand farting and whistling and Kyle manfully like gallivanting around me.
Hey, I've seen him. He's
delicate about
light
it.
On his toes.
Yeah, he's. We both just like fully invested ourselves into this shenanigans, and So she is afterwards. She's and that's from my husband? And we both remember, and we're like, oh, no, 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 definitely from Sir Guy. Yes, that's what your husband told us. Yes, that's His Majesty said that it's from Sir Guy. Definitely from him. Rhythmic hand farting for the Queen. There you are. Yes. So that made me feel amazing.
Wow. It's definitely just special.
Yes.
That's what everyone wrote in my yearbook.
With good reason.
Yeah. So that made me feel really accomplished as a street performer.
I mean, yes. That's a way to clear that bar.
Right.
Should we maybe take a quick break?
Yep, let's do that. Okay. And then we'll be back and we'll talk about other shenanigans.
Yay!
There was much rejoicing.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Look.
And we're back.
Yay!
I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Will.
I'm Brianna.
Yay!
Yay! And, we got it. Nailed
all right.
it.
We very specifically wanted to have Will Bradshaw on this episode, A, because he is only in town for a few days, because he doesn't live around here no more.
Ain't around here no more. No,
left
here.
Us.
He talented is, jerk.
I know, right?
He's May he rest in peace.
Living in Vegas and living the life.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to kind of talk to you about that and what you've been up to. So,
go.
I mean,
tell us stories.
Yeah. Give us the quick rundown and then we'll ask questions.
Well, since last time I was on the podcast last year about this time, I went and performed for a week at the Magic Castle in Hollywood, California.
What?
Yeah, that was something else. I have a story about that I'll share.
So just small venues so
small
far.
Small venues.
That's what you're telling me.
I have my regular show in Las Vegas as part of the Fremont Street Experience, as well as the Wonderground Nightclub that I perform at. I did my first national television spot on the CW's Masters of Illusion. And about a week ago, I just got back from a six-week tour where I was performing with the Las Vegas Magic Stars in China, where I did a show for our largest venue was 2,500 seats, which we sold out.
So it's been slow.
So it's been a slow year for me here as well.
Wow. You're really regretting not coming back and doing our fest, aren't you?
I know. I mean,
if you want us to, we can ask a few people and see if we can get you your old job back.
Seems like a step down to me.
No.
Jesus Christ.
So that's what I've been up to over the last year. And so the story of it I was talking about with the Magic Castle. So I was performing with my mentor, Jeff McBride, as part of his...
Name dropper.
Yeah, evening show. Well, it wasn't my show. I need to specify that. When I was performing at the Magic Castle,
sure.
It wasn't the Will Bradshaw show. It
Name
was
dropper.
It was the Jeff McBride show, and I was assisting with him.
Alley-oop.
Oh, yeah. And so...
Do you need something?
For this...
Sure.
One for me too.
Whatever.
Okay, James, give him something.
Yes. So for this show, we had a special guest. This will, I guess, be a little bit of name dropping. Creme de banana?
So, yep.
Oh, why would you do that?
Just no mint.
Yeah. So what ended up happening is we found out that there was a special guest that Jeff had put together to meet up with another VIP for one of our last shows, and the special guest who came out to see our show specifically was none other than the modern king of magic himself, David Copperfield.
Jesus. Right. Holy
shit. Oh my god. I need a new stool.
Right. David hasn't, I found out after the show from David's manager, who came up and chatted with me afterwards, that he hadn't been to the Magic Castle in 15 years.
Wow.
Jesus fuck.
And he came specifically to see this.
You.
No, not me. I was at the Will Bradshaw show.
Yeah. At the Will,
Magic Castle. Name dropper.
Yeah. To go and see this show and to meet up with the person that Jeff had put this connection with. Because Jeff has a friend of his who made automatons, moving people, mm-hmm. these classic things. And David apparently is a collector of oddities like that. Oh. So there was a special connection there. And David came backstage after the show to have this kind of meeting.
Cool.
So I was there, and one of my jobs that I did, though, is because we were doing two shows a night and we only had about a half hour between shows, was to take everything from the show and reset it.
Right.
So what ends up happening is all of these big, huge magicians, thank you very much.
Did you just call them fat?
No. Big time magician.
Oh, okay.
And these other people.
And David Copperfield's really let himself go.
We'll see if you like it after you drink it.
And how was it? I haven't tried mine yet. It smells banana-y.
It tastes like runts. Like yes. A banana yeah. runt.
That, all right. That is a banana yeah. runt.
All That's right.
A banana runt drink.
Well done.
We'll take it.
And they went backstage and had this meeting. However, I was the only person who couldn't do that, join in, because I had to put together the backstage and reset all the props. And my job came first. So I spent a half hour resetting everything and running back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of avoided that room because that was stuff way above my pay grade right now.
Right.
You don't want to walk in on that shit.
They're doing actual magic.
Yeah, they're doing actual magic out there. You know, sacrificing a goat or something. I don't know, probably.
I was going to go with, like, you know, Wingardium Leviosa or something like that.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Okay. I was.
But so the highlight of that entire encounter is I had to go past that room, because my green room was behind it, to finish up the last things of the reset for my couple things. So, you know, I quick dart past, you know, try not to be seen, and
poltergeist.
10 points. As I'm going past,
you're really bad at magic, James.
Somebody say, "Hey, wait, you stop, come back here," and I turn around and it's David.
I need another stool.
So, well, you know, right, exactly, that's exactly, and I went,
what did I do wrong,
Right, so I go back, and he came up to me, and he said, "I just wanted to take a moment to say that you did a really good job, and I see you going far."
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Right, and that's exactly what I did. And he shook my hand and then went back into the room into the meeting.
Jesus.
Wait, Will, can I shake your hand real quick?
Hold on.
You can feel the magic.
I don't deserve to shake your hand.
No.
It's all right. I licked
here,
it.
Have some
sloppy seconds.
Yeah, have some sloppy seconds off of mine.
That's like thirds or fourths of
this. Okay, you and me, we're going to touch Copperfield hands.
Got a bit farther.
That's what I do. That was kind of that really, really big moment for me, because, I mean, he's the living king of magic.
Yeah.
And
also, Jimi Hendrix just told you play really good guitar.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And sees you going far.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I did that, and now I've accomplished.
And now it's all downhill from
here. The performance in China that I just did, the producers over there enjoyed our show enough where they want us to come back in February.
Nice.
And the head producer also was talking to me about doing a smaller run of just myself as opposed to the big
Las Vegas
Magic Stars.
David Copperfield was right.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my god,
he said it. And Jesus it came Christ. Through.
It's magic.
It's so magic.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, those are some of the things. And, I mean, I literally, about a week ago, just got back from China, literally 12 hours on the opposite side of the world performing magic.
That's not how time zones work.
No.
Magic. Just shut up.
It's magic. Hush.
That's been my world and my life and the bits and pieces.
Where at in China were you at? Did you travel around or were you in?
We did. We did six different cities over the 6 weeks. We were in Shanghai, Shenzhen, Guangzhou. Those are the three.
Name drop?
Those are the three cities. We were in Guangzhou twice because we went back, and then there was another city which whose name I don't remember. And we did about a 1 week run in each theater that we performed in. And so there was a combination of we were doing these large shows We in the full show, we produced a helicopter on stage, a full-on just
very cool
helicopter, what? Empty box, spin it around, god. Open up the box, helicopter with a girl inside.
Oh my god,
that's what I've been doing this summer.
No, I think Jenna wants to be your new assistant.
I know, right?
You know, Jessa graduates in a year, and she can fuck off at that point. I've done my job.
So you're the Jeff McBride show. Is it is his show one that's mostly just big gestures and no talking, or is there talking in there?
Well,
at all?
It depends on which show, but it is. Okay. Jeff originally started as a pantomime, who then went into magic, which is why I wanted to work with him, because that's where my background right, here at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival was. I was
so you're
pantomime.
Kind of skirting the language barrier by doing
right exactly. Now with this Las Vegas Magic Stars, we did have an escape artist. Who had a translator work with him as well.
Oh, okay.
Just to be able to explain what was going on and have a connection with the audience.
Gotcha.
Because unless the audience cares about you as a person, they don't care if you're hanging by your ankles 15 feet in the air in a straitjacket and chains with a giant animal trap to crush you in 60 seconds. They just... That was the...
You look confused. I'm not sure what part of that description was confusing.
Right, that was one of the things, so he needed...
There was just that moment of like, well, I feel like it wouldn't matter who. I'm always going to worry about somebody who is about to get shoved into an animal trap that's going to kill them.
Mm. Right.
But I guess if I have a common language, maybe I care more?
Right, well, yeah. I mean, it's about... I mean, all theater is about relationship and connections, mm-hmm. one way or another.
Yep.
We were talking about that a little bit off podcast about it's about your connection either with you and your co-person, you and your props, or you and the audience. And so understanding who you're connecting to in the different ways changes how the dynamics of the scenes work. And so if you don't have any connection, if you're don't have a background in pantomime, then there's no connection going on between you and the audience. So it makes it a lot more difficult. Now Jeff has a very strong background in pantomime, so he can create really good connections with people even if he doesn't speak the language.
Right.
And that's what he was working on, and that's one of the things that he's training me how to do better and better, being able to do my routines completely silent.
Mm. Do you think that's why magicians with assistants still ask for audience volunteers?
Well, I think one of the things with audience volunteers, there's multiple layers to that.
Sure.
One, it is to create a connection with you and an audience member. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I talk about when I go out and lecture about theater as well.
So you're getting a free class, James.
Right.
Yeah. Sweet.
I guess, is that we have to pay attention to what our major competition is as performers.
Mm-hmm.
And our major competition is movies. To be perfectly honest. Sure. And the thing is the movies have us beat in almost every category. They have better special effects.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bigger budget.
Mm.
They have better acting training and better lighting and better everything. But the one thing that we have that a movie will never be able to compete with is we can have a one-on-one connection in real time with our audience. It's happening in the present time, and it's unique every single time. And so we as live performers, I think it would be foolish of us not to grab a hold of that and go running with it, because it's what makes us unique and different than everywhere else, especially out at the Renaissance Festival. We can have real connections with people in this environment where things can go way crazy, as you guys were talking about. I mean, you guys were just talking about all of these crazy adventures with the bagpipes and the kazoos, and that was a one-time moment. But if the people who weren't there at that moment, that's never going to happen again. It was just that one time, which is what makes it unique and special and valuable. And so when we pay attention to that as theater performers and actors and promote that, now all of a sudden we're able to compete with the big blockbusters like Spider-Man Homecoming or the Avengers. It's just in a different way because we're not playing by their rules. And so that's one of the reasons why it's important to bring audience members up on stage for magicians, because then it makes it a one-time, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. There's never going to be a show quite like this one because it has that person in it. So, ta-da! Yeah, that's the long answer to a short
question.
You're
used to ending everything you do with ta-da!
Yeah, so it's kind of ta-da. That background. Yes.
Nice.
I mean, that's kind of that theater background. And with this show, I was doing a huge amount of work on stage and off stage. I actually had the most amount of stage time in this show because I was the main lead assistant as well as doing three solo spots in this show as well. So in all of the large grand illusions, I was on stage helping out, making sure that the girl got into the box properly and, you know, didn't get hurt someplace.
Don't spoil it.
Put her foot in the tiger's mouth or
something. Put her foot in the tiger's mouth, or the jaws of death were actually set properly so they would close at 90 seconds, not 60 seconds, which would be a disaster. Things like that. And then I also had three solo spots in the show where I was fronting a large stage illusion, which was the first time doing that. I did one of my comedy routines as well. And then Jeff, my mentor, gave up one of his slots to let me perform in it. Which was a dancing light-up cane where he normally does it. And he says, you know, Will, you've been working really hard. I think you should get that spot.
That's cool.
Wow. So he let me take one of his spots and perform in the show.
So do you have a set character that you are?
Kind of.
Because you said you were... I mean, you're working with him as his assistant in one place, and in other places you're doing a comedy routine. Right. And is that just a completely different persona, or is it the same persona, just a different side of it, or...
So with this particular show, I actually had three different personas with it.
Okay.
And it was signified by the three different costumes that I wore.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I made that distinction for myself. So one of the shows, part of it, I did pre-show for the performance where I did 30 minutes of magic before the show even started.
Warm-up act, yeah.
Right. And
well,
so
like
with
the trivia that they have on the movie screen before the movie begins.
Exactly. That's I was the trivia in
Marilyn
Chinese.
Monroe! Right. Marilyn Monroe! Okay, I'm good.
And so for that and any of the comedy pieces that I did, I had this bright blue sequins Las Vegas jacket. I mean, it was about as Las Vegas as you can get.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So for any of those routines where I was doing comedy pieces, bam, I'm wearing this bright jacket and I'm kind of like, hey! And the character for that was this slightly full of himself, in love with everybody in the audience type of character. And so some of the bits that I would do, we had a magician from North Korea named Sung Ming, who was performing with me pre-show as well. And so at the end of it, when we heard the correct time cue, it was time for us to leave. And so we would get up on the stage together, and we would go, hello, hello. And people from China understood that. And so they go, oh, hello back, and hello. And I would, mwah, mwah. And I would blow kisses, and mwah, mwah. And we would slowly walk off stage together, mwah. And then I would run back on stage, and hello, hello. And they're like, oh, look at here, he's back again. And, you know, and I'm being this cute, funny guy, mwah, mwah. And Sun Ming would be like, all right, hello, bye-bye, and kind of drag me off. He would drag me off stage, and then as soon as we got off stage, I would break free and run back on stage and go, hello, hello, mwah, mwah, I love you all. And he would come up behind me, bear hug me, lift me up off my feet, my legs would kick up, and he would carry me off stage with me screaming, hi-ya, as he carried. And that was kind of what that character was.
Okay.
Nice.
And then for the assisting thing, I had black tails on, a very high status, and that was me, hands behind the back, serious, almost more like a statue character. Because at that point, it's not about me, it's about the head magician.
You're the butler.
Right, I'm the butler, and so all of my job is to draw send focus to the illusions, wherever the focus is supposed to be. And then the third piece, character that I had was actually the villain of the show, where I had this leather ratty kind of costume on, where I ended up stealing props from all the other magicians. So I stole Jeff McBride's mask, which is his signature thing. I stole it from him, and then I stole one of Dean Gunninser's escape things, this giant chained monstrosity, and then I also stole the four Ukrainian dancers as well. And
yes!
It was great. And then what the routine was is I locked up the lead female magician inside of this device, which was supposed to be for Dean. I was playing this villain character and had the Ukrainian dancers lock her up, and then I would cover her with a curtain, walk behind, and then she would immediately walk out. She escaped, and then open it up, and I'm locked inside instead. And then my character's like, trying to get off, and the Ukrainians laugh and push that character off the stage. And
lovely.
That's lay you across the train tracks.
I know, right? So
awesome.
But so we had three different characters for that, and three different costumes to signify the different characters for that.
Nice.
So.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
Oh, I almost let the spider escape from his.
This is how horror movies begin.
Or superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or super horrors.
Porque no los dos?
No, I love having conversations with you about this because you get into so much more than just this is the show and these are the tricks.
I'm still stuck on the helicopter, by the
that's
way. I'm just
pretty cool.
As the villain, you should have escaped in the helicopter.
Son of a bitch.
But
such a villain thing to do.
I mean, you were doing it a little bit earlier, just the philosophy.
Right,
behind it, and the showmanship and the
magic
the
theory,
stage.
And its performance theory as well.
I love talking about this.
Well, and I remember seeing your. We were talking about this off the. You said raccoon trap.
Oh yeah, thing. The raccoon trap.
Which was a performance that you did off of regular hours at Fest.
Yeah,
and I, you know, some things have to be done. With everyone watching it directly in front of you, and I remember I was 90 degrees off to the side where someone would usually be sitting in like the wings, or that kind of thing, and that thing that you do is incredible from all sides, and your showmanship is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
That trick is horrifying.
I guess we should explain what this trick is.
Let's do that. Yeah.
So what the trick that he's explaining is a routine that I put together for Penn and Teller's Fool Us, and what it involved was eight animal traps on the board, live animal traps, and I set one of them off with a carrot. And these things are actually very, very dangerous. If you put your hand inside of one of these, it will break all the bones in your fingers. I wasn't using tricked traps whatsoever for this.
Nope.
These were real, really dangerous things for a Penn and Teller Fool Us. I was putting it together. And the routine was that I would put my hands over it, and I chose an audience member. They would say, start with my two hands over the traps. And what I'd tell the audience member is only one of these seven traps is actually live. The rest of them are duds. So you're going to choose where my hands stop, and you're going to choose which hand I put into the trap, right? And so
right.
I wave
your
my hands,
hands
over.
Which are essential,
right? Essential
to everything
what I do,
that you do,
everything that I do. Mm-hmm. So I put my hands over it. They say the left hand, and so I put my left hand in, click, and nothing happens, right? And so there's the seven animal traps still on the board, and at this moment I say I feel like I should apologize to you because I lied at the beginning. I said only one of the traps was live, but that was actually the opposite, because see, that one was the only one which was a dud, and this one over here was live, and I set it off with a carrot, and this one was live, and all the other seven animal traps were in fact live animal traps, and the only one that was chose from a free choice was the one which the person chose. And what's kind of what just one level more about this is part of the reason why you could be at that 90-degree angle in the wings is that that routine is exactly what it looks like, which is what makes it A, terrifying, and
what? Yeah.
B, able to be done completely surrounded. Mm. Now, I didn't do that routine out on the festival grounds itself,
right?
Because there was just a safety concern.
Yeah, if somebody runs up and like.
Yeah.
Touches something.
Because people sometimes do that out at festivals, which is why that was a special event.
A bunch of drunks wandering around? Why would they be a problem?
Oh, no, this isn't the thing. And then, you know, lawsuit.
Yeah. I watched the carrot.
Thing.
Or, like, you used a series of vegetables.
Yep.
And you just, like, bam. And I remember watching a chunk of carrot just launch itself off stage.
I remember when you were preparing for that and you came to Huge Theater to record a video of that trick.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we were cleaning up pieces of carrot from all over the
in case he was never able to do it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why I hired a spotter for my show. Show
That's probably a smart idea as well.
Yeah.
I'm on a stage this year, and that has given me a lot more.
Yeah, I actually, this last weekend was, I was there as a patron for the first time in 12 years, actually. Hmm. I performed out at the festival for 12 years. This was the first time that I didn't work at all, and I saw you out on the stage that I actually got started on. You had my time slots, and I saw across the way, I'm like, aww. And I saw Sauce, and I'm like, damn right, Sauce.
Our little Sauce is growing up.
Mm-hmm. Well, no.
Now it's my turn to blush.
Right, well, but it makes me really excited. It makes me really excited for the festival, because one of the things that you provide, I mean, you are that new entertainer there, and mm-hmm. you're providing something that none of the other shows have. You are the only sword swallower that the Minnesota Renaissance Festival mm-hmm. has. Mm-hmm. And that's a unique thing, and that puts you into a unique position where you can really grow and explode and do a lot of cool things, which is why I like especially jamming with this philosophy with you.
And a lot of that philosophy that you taught me last year has worked its way into the show. I mean, a lot of what I say at the end of my routine came from you.
Hell yeah.
I've been Will Bradshaw, and
you can see my show in China, and
yeah.
Where I steal a helicopter.
Then fly away.
But yes. For those of you who may have forgot, Will works at a school out in Vegas for performing and stuff like that. So obviously he kind of knows a thing or two about how to teach somebody these skills, so he was really, really, really good at getting that information across to me in a way that I understood it, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm doing it right.
I might be coming out again then this weekend, and I'll watch, and I'll, with a little notebook.
No. He fucked that up. He fucked that up. Oh, what?
I take back all the nice things I said.
We're only tearing you down to build you up.
We might forget the second part.
Just picture, well, tear down, out. I'm out.
Tear down.
Actually, I have to fuck off to China again. And,
luck. To do my solo show in China.
The Will Bradshaw show.
Oh, hopefully that's the ideal.
Not there quite yet.
This, but... Will, you're such an inspiration.
Shh. Well, David Copperfield said he was going places. So.
Right, I know. Oh. So, all right.
Well, prison is a place.
One more plug. All right, so. And last one, I promise, and then I'll stop stroking my ego, because
we brought you here to stroke your ego, or whatever it is.
We brought you here to stroke your ego.
And I think
he's improvising again.
I think the wrong type of improvising again. Yeah. That's after hours improvising.
It's a different raccoon trap.
Nah. Uh-huh.
No. Bad. Bad.
Ladies and gentlemen,
bad.
This is the magic that I perform.
No, bad. Bad, James. Bad.
Go ahead.
Does
he get any doggy treats now?
No.
Yeah, no, not after that one. So, I was talking about David's manager was the one who I ended up talking with most. And I don't know how much of this was to compliment me or just to put just a little bit of a jab towards Jeff there. And turn. And for those of you who don't know, he has currently a Mike and Ike on his nose balanced, as a doggy treat.
Salsa has balanced one on his nose, on James's nose, and James went
I'll try
for
again.
It.
We'll be working
and it
on
didn't
that
happen.
One.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
This is what's going to happen at
for next weekend.
This is going to be the new.
Okay. How about we let Will tell his story, because this is a video cast.
He's going along there.
This is distracting.
I'm fascinated by this. All right, here we go.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So,
it's not in there.
Where the hell did that go? So, David's manager came up to Jeff and myself after the show.
Name dropper.
I know.
Which
and,
one? All of the above.
All of the above.
Okay.
And he shook her hands and he's like, "Wow, that was a really great show." And he came up to me and he said, "Will, I just have to say, you were really great. You stole the show." And he said that specifically right in front of Jeff.
Oh.
And I think he was just trying to get me into just a little bit of trouble. He's like, "You were amazing. You were my favorite part of the show." And he said that right in front of Jeff, my boss, and I'm like, "Oh."
thank you.
I'm going to hear about this later. Mm-hmm.
No, Jeff thought
now
it was
I'll have to get my own show.
Yeah, now I have to get
fucking
my own
fired.
show. So, I don't know if you guys know this, but like 3 years ago, this guy, Will Bradshaw, told me I was going
name
to
dropper.
You're right there?
I am. I'm good.
Wait, 4 years.
Not school, yeah, but places.
Yeah, places. Mm-hmm. Not school.
Places.
Yeah.
you move to the conversation booth. That's the places you go.
What an amazing place, though.
We talked last year about the school that you were doing.
Yeah.
I guess, do you have updates on that, or want to touch about changes? Anything interesting to talk about there? Or
oh, gosh. Well, I mean, the classes are still going well. We mm-hmm. do a class specifically for street busking. So to teach buskers how to work not only festival fairs, but other places as well. I teach 2-day classes as well as part of the week-long classes. This year, it was a little bit difficult because while we were out in China, Jeff's mentor, Eugene Berger, basically his father and kind of my grandfather of magic, mm-hmm. Got very, very ill. And ended up passing away while we were in China. And he was a big part of the school and a big reason why the school existed and a lot of that I've learned from magic, we learned from him. So this is going to be kind of the first year that we don't have his guidance in it. But the idea is to kind of step up and fill in those shoes as best as we can, because mm-hmm. it's part of just what the process is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, people come
ever evolving,
and
yeah.
it's ever evolving.
Okay.
And so, I mean, as for the school, that's kind of the newest big change we're talking about, doing this school in other countries as well. Jeff kind mm-hmm. of does small tours of this as well. And I mean, I guess on my side of it, I've been asked to lecture a couple times, do a little small lecture tour in over by New York, because I have some magician friends of mine mm-hmm. over there who do busking as well. And they asked me to go in and do just a little bit of talk on that busking and my personal takes on some of these philosophies. So that's kind of the updates with the school there. And still perform out on Fremont Street, building big shows and doing crazy things. And as I said, was on the CW and, you know, kicking ass, taking names, and just a little
and
bit
then
missing
dropping.
Fest. And yeah. then dropping them, taking names, and then dropping them.
Yep.
On places like this on the podcast.
Very cool.
You're supposed to hold the name on your nose and then catch it in your mouth.
All right.
That's what we're I knew doing I was wrong.
Go ahead and plug the school and anything else
plug.
You want to plug and
plug
before
it,
we go
it,
to break.
Plug.
Oh, yeah. So it is the McBride Magic and Mystery School. You can go to magicalwisdom.com. and find out more information about that. And if you want to see information about me as a performer, you can find me on Facebook, The Magic of Will, or on my website, themagicofwill.com, where I'm going to be posting more
Good.
Information.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask if you had a personal website so that people can track your shows.
Yep. Themagicofwill.com is my current website.
Good.
I'm a little bit more active on the Book of Faces, though, than mm-hmm. my personal website, because it's not optimized for that yet. Yet.
Okay. We will get those links on the show notes for this as well. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna go ahead and take a little bit of break, and we'll come right back and we'll see what happens. Boom boom boom. About to do that itself. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Will.
I'm Brianna.
Yay, we did it.
All right.
Victory is ours.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a lot of fun. This conversation has energized me a great deal. However, unfortunately, not everybody can have a Brianna or Will Bradshaw in their own home.
Name dropper.
To give them that pep that they are looking for, so they need to find alternative means to get themselves going.
Yeah.
So they like, need to use chemicals.
So drugs.
Drug well
of a kind.
It's
kind.
Yeah, it's a legal drug.
Oh, a wait, legal
a
drug.
Legal drug or caffeine, illegal drug?
A legal drug.
Oh, yeah. And ooh, what is the best caffeine. Way to get caffeine into your body?
I like coffee.
Coffee is a great
I do like
answer.
Coffee.
And what is the best coffee out there?
True Stone
Coffee.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's true. True Stone Coffee. True they Stone. Roast that shit and then mail it to you. Like just
that day.
Like that.
I mean, I'll be honest. I only drink True Stone Coffee at home.
Yeah, yep. it's great. Yeah. And it gets delivered right to your door.
Yep. Really? With your name on
Fresh.
It.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah. You can have it delivered to your door. Go to truestonecoffee.com and enter the promo code...
Apropos!
But it's spelled apropos. English,
no, it's apropos.
Right. Which,
apropos. Right,
when you spell it, it's apropos.
No,
and get 10%
apropos.
Off of your order. Mm-hmm. They've got... Not only do they have coffee beans, but if you are a heathen who wants it to be... pre-ground, they will grind it before they send it to you.
Maybe you just don't own a grinder
if you
yet.
Don't own, and I mean, yeah, I
God, get don't it. Insult the audience,
no,
fucker.
You can get a $5 one at Goodwill, but whatever.
That is what
or
I did.
You can get bottles of cold press that you can
throw
in a backpack.
Oh my God, that cold press.
Or, as James is modeling, but you can't see, you can get a nice True Stone t-shirt.
Yeah.
Or other merchandise.
They have the little hats.
Can I just
True
say,
hats.
My True Stone t-shirt is the softest t-shirt.
I know. Oh
yeah,
my
this
God.
Is the...
They're so comfy.
Not only are they t-shirts,
and it
they
makes
are
me look
comfy.
Kind of like a superhero.
Mm-hmm. It does. A little shield right in the center of your chest.
Yeah, I like
as,
it.
As close nice. As you're going
to
get.
So you should do that. You should go to truestonecoffee.com. You should buy all of the things. You should put in that that promo code that we mentioned earlier, get 10%
apropos.
Off your order, and get
spelled
it mailed
apropos.
Right to your door.
Or to my door. You can mail it to my
door. Yeah,
or
really just... Yeah.
And it's got the roasting date.
You should
right
give everybody your address, right?
Oh, no.
International. It'll be
Jesus
great.
Christ, gut reaction. Like, it's the raccoon trap. Don't do it. Don't fucking do it. Don't do it.
Instead of doing that, how about we do a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
I know, right? Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are not familiar, a Fast Five is this. We are sent two emails. One email has five A or B choices. We have to go through the list and decide which of those two choices we like the best, not knowing at all what the context is. After we have made all of our decisions, we go and open the second email and we find out what the context of that was. This Fast Five this week was sent to us from Mr. Mud.
Yay, Mud!
Yay!
And
stuffing us with
indeed, I know, right?
Yeah,
Fast Fives.
No, stop.
Yeah,
just stop.
No.
Anyway,
no. Bad.
Let's just get through this.
Bad,
the theme of this Fast Five is let's eat.
Ooh.
Oh. Hey.
All right.
On it.
I mean,
question number one.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Number one. Spicy or sweet?
Oh, some bitch.
Peppers.
I gotta go. Ooh, that's a good one. I'm gonna go spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like spicy.
As a fire eater, that makes sense. I find that fire eaters tend to like spicier food, probably because their taste buds have been singed over and over again.
Because they're dead.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go spicy myself. I just came back from China, and my spice level has...
Oh, yeah, your tolerance.
It had to be. I did not have a choice.
Jealous.
I had
nice.
Really spicy food.
My
while
mouth
I was out
is
there.
Watering.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was raised Minnesotan, so I can't handle spice all that well.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it better than sweet. So
oh,
I still
wait,
have
like
okay.
ketchup spicy or like mustard
no,
spicy?
No, nothing like that.
Oh, God.
I can do like a two at a Thai restaurant.
Ooh, that's impressive around here.
Thank you.
I'll go spicy.
I'm going to go sweet.
Okay, we have
because I am just so nobody's going to believe me if I say that. Nobody's
right.
going to believe me if I say that.
Question number two: wet or dry?
Get wet, stay wet. Straight up soggy.
Wet or dry?
See, I'm thinking like wings, a dry rub versus a wet.
That's exactly where my mind
like
went.
I was thinking
so
barbecue.
You are by far a better person than I am.
I like a good barbecue sauce.
I don't understand what you mean.
Mm-hmm. I
that's why you're a better
good,
person.
But I do appreciate
no,
a good barbecue
go on,
sauce.
Explain it to me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go wet. Nobody's
when
surprised.
Two chicken wings love each other very much.
Because then you can take that barbecue sauce and put it on your fries.
Right, or your mashed potatoes. I'm going to have to go wet as well. Well,
all right.
I'm gonna say dry.
Okay.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Dry rub.
Well, I mean, we don't know if this is
we're just confident in our wrongness.
Yeah, I like the sloppiness.
All right.
Wet and sloppy.
Okay. Yeah. question number three. Baked beans or coleslaw?
The better side.
Yeah, this is sounding coleslaw. Like barbecue
for
to me.
Fried chicken.
I'm going to go with beans. I'm certain that I'm going to get a little bit of hate on this, but the only coleslaw that I've ever liked was KFC's coleslaw.
That was actually really good.
What I like is when they take the barbecue sauce and mix it into the beans, so then the barbecue and the beans go together.
Yeah.
Like, that's super good.
Mm-hmm.
I love the contrast of the coleslaw to everything.
The crunch and the brightness.
Yeah, the freshness. You know, once you get like a half rack of ribs down and you're feeling a little logy,
the coleslaw
eat a pint of coleslaw and then go for that other half rack of ribs.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with biscuit.
It has to be beans or coleslaw.
I won't eat either of them.
But the rules of the Fast Five is you have to choose one.
Okay, well then I'm going to say...
which one is less objectionable?
Baked beans would be more fun to swim in.
That would be really weird.
Okay, question number four.
Good choice.
Question number four, plain or coleslaw?
Given the last your answer, pulled, it's kind of obvious. Yeah.
Pulled pork sandwich, and I'm gonna
with
say
coleslaw on top.
I'm still what I really like is dill on top of that, like pickles or something like that on top of that.
I don't know.
We might have to.
He's a magician. Just ask him for food.
Actually, you know what the best
Wingardium Furiosa.
The best pulled pork sandwiches are at Town Hall.
Okay.
Have you had them?
Uh-uh.
Do they have coleslaw on them?
They have like a slaw like salad, but it's not actually coleslaw.
With coleslaw on it.
But it is pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with slaw as well if we're talking pulled pork sandwiches, because that feels like kind of where we're going.
I feel
just a little bit.
That doesn't necessarily mean that's where
right.
No, I think he could be talking about automobiles. We don't know.
Yeah. So you're going plain?
I'm going plain.
Right, I got
I'm
the
going slaw.
Slaw,
James.
Slaw all
I'm
day.
So Jenna? In halves over
the
this.
The answer is, what do you want to throw in a toilet?
It might be
plain.
I think
no, because I put eggs on my toast and that kind of like I like We're putting not, some of you? My food on other food. I like mixing my foods together.
I mean, it all goes into the
this
same
is
place
this is a direct answer. I'm not. This is not
Jenna.
I'm gonna go slaw.
Okay.
This isn't very fast.
That's not non sequitur. It is apropos
five.
Of nothing.
This is way fast compared to other times we've played this game.
Question number five: grill or deep fry?
Deep fry that shit, yo.
Grill.
I'm thinking chicken.
Deep fry it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go grill myself.
Grill. Marks
grill.
On it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fire.
With nice, like blackened crispiness.
The smell.
Yeah.
I love grilled chicken. Don't get me wrong, but I don't. Somebody didn't send me a deep fryer for Christmas, so I have to go elsewhere for my deep fried chicken.
Well, we know what Jenna's getting for Christmas this year.
She's probably going to get several of them.
Yes. All of a sudden, there are
signed by Will Wheaton. That's.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Oh, call back to an episode no longer available.
Oh,
yeah. It's nature
issues.
Of the beast. Yeah.
No, I'm gonna go fried because I don't like fried chicken. For me, it's just a fucking treat.
Mm.
I will generally eat like grilled chicken and be happy with it, but I don't go out for fried chicken much. So when I get it, it's like just this magic thing. They stopped serving the fried chicken at Culver's.
Now
and my life is
bitches.
Fucking absolute sadness.
It's fucking bullshit.
I really want Popeyes right now.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh.
God damn it. All right.
Yeah, anyway.
This Fast Five has caused a problem in this.
Look what you have done to
These
us.
Are my work pants.
So we have all made our choices?
So your only pants.
That's all right. All right. Let's go open the second email. We have context, and it starts out by saying, food. question number one, spicy or sweet? Do you prefer a spicy or sweet barbecue sauce on ribs?
Mm. Yep, I chose correctly.
You know what I really like is sweet chili. It's like my new favorite right now.
See, Sweet Baby Ray's. Never.
What?
Sweet chili.
Okay,
sweet
we're chili fixing
sweet
this.
Sweet chili's yeah. great.
Possibly right after this.
Fucking amazing.
Like, I don't care if you have plans. You need sweet chili. Fuck it.
I also need sleep. But I need chili.
I was so proud papa moment. My daughter was eating candied jalapenos right from the jar a few days ago. And I was like, yeah, it's my little girl.
And soon torches.
Yes.
Somewhere Raider Lee screamed and she doesn't know why.
That's what she was the one the one feeding her the jalapenos.
Right, yeah.
When Jessa was Lil Beth's age, she wanted to learn how to do fire, and I was like, not until you're 16.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can kill somebody with a car, and you can kill yourself with fire.
Has she learned fire?
No, she gave up. She's like, ah, that's stupid. And I'm like, smart girl.
Yeah. This is why we wait. So are we all good? I'm switching mine to sweet because Sweet Baby Ray's is my jam.
Sweet Baby Ray's is really good. Nope, spicy.
I still like my spicy.
Yeah, okay. I'm still all right. Baby burn.
I want to sweat.
Cool. Question number two: wet or dry? When making ribs, do you use a barbecue sauce or a dry rub? We were totally right on that.
Oh my god! Yeah, good call.
For Gryffindor.
Por qué no los dos?
No, Hufflepuff.
You can't just decide.
Yeah, no, I'm...
I'm talking about James. Oh. I'm definitely saying Hufflepuff.
What? Oh, am I? I mean, maybe.
You're the
maybe.
Best friend in the world.
I would say like a Hufflepuff with some Ravenclaw.
A little bit of Ravenclaw, yeah, but like that loving, caring nature is like the first thing I ever learned about him.
Aww.
Well, he's tearing up right now as well.
I think he's blushing, actually. It's hard to tell in the lighting, but...
I know that Gryffindor is good and Slytherin is bad.
I'm a Slytherin.
Yeah.
I'm a Gryffindor.
I stand by my stand.
Shots fired.
God damn it.
Let's put you in Shirley and let's ask again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, in Shirley, I would totally become a Slytherin.
Really? That's so weird, based on everything you've told us during this fucking episode. Well, that's very strange.
Oh, yeah. I have to reevaluate my life.
Technically, I'd call myself a Slytherclaw, but...
Oh. Griffinpuff. In the mixed world.
All right.
Yeah. So we figured out what the context was, so we're all happy with our answers, right?
Yes.
All right.
Dry rub.
Question number three: baked beans or coleslaw, preferred side during a picnic?
What? Mm. Yeah. It's
so awesome. I'll be honest. I misheard it. I thought it was green beans, not baked beans.
See, I went on with
my
green
god,
beans.
Green right. beans.
I thought it was green beans.
Deep fried green beans.
So I'm gonna have to switch my answer over to the slaw.
See, I'm because it's not specifically barbecue. It just says picnic. I am switching to coleslaw as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Although beans keep better.
I'm gonna stick with those baked beans because they're still fun to swim in.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no.
At a picnic. Totally.
I mean, if you get in a good carnival picnic.
A favorite thing to slide into at a picnic.
Just a slip and slide.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely.
This is a very weird company picnic.
Surely sliding on a slip and slide.
Oh my god.
Little legs kicking in the air.
We do have two costumes for all of the puppets, and we've been deciding how to destroy the old ones.
Oh my gosh, zombie puppets.
I want in.
Zombie pub crawl.
Zombie pub
puppet?
Crawl?
Zombie
crawl.
Pub crawl in the puppets.
Puppet. Yeah. Crawl.
Puppet. Sound like we're frogs.
One of the other puppeteers has little finger puppets as part of his character.
We have those for the puppet troop. They're in the green.
He's got one that looks like a little mushroom.
Yep.
Okay, and that's from
part
the same.
Of ours.
And mm-hmm. I was delighted.
Putting it into a little fairy catcher.
Yes. It was amazing.
It was terrifying.
What? No, I couldn't. I was giggling. I couldn't stop.
Did you see it out on the street or backstage?
Backstage.
Because backstage, he was screaming about the tortures they had done to him.
Oh, no. He didn't do that. He didn't do that to me.
No. I broke salsa.
It was much more wholesome when he did that.
He must have been practicing what he was going to do out on.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Question number four.
I think you broke him.
Plain or coleslaw? How do you like your pulled pork sandwich?
Yes!
Yes!
just barbecue sauce or with coleslaw on top?
Oh, no, I gotta
absolutely
plain. All day.
I will have to say, yep, slaw.
And now we have.
Apologies.
The mud has only included context for the first four.
Oh, what was the fifth one again?
The fifth one was grilled or deep fried.
It's totally chicken.
And yeah, since we don't have a we're gonna go with chicken. And I
grilled chicken recently that was fucking fantabulous.
What I did this last summer is I took chicken breast and I wrapped it in bacon and threw that on the grill.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
And that was
Bacon wrapped chicken is the best thing on the face of the planet. It maintains all of the juiciness and plus bacon.
What's even better is if you make one tiny little slit in the chicken and put a ball of mozzarella inside and then
which
cover that.
Jenna can't.
I can't.
Aww. Yeah.
No. Well, what I did is on the chicken, I put a
whatever
lemon
that
pepper,
vegetarian cheese is.
I put a lemon pepper dry rub.
I know
on
it's not the same. Yeah.
It was super good.
Lemon pepper chicken.
And then wrapped the bacon around it.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. So, yeah, that is our fast five.
Okay, an apple would give the same effect.
Or just shove some applesauce in there.
Yeah. No, I feel like the applesauce would get a little weird.
I have done applesauce covered chicken before, and it's really good.
Yeah. It's the stuffed that's rife. Like applesauce covered, sure, but like the stuffed.
Crazy.
Apple chunks.
No,
everyone listening to this who's driving right now, you're in a drive thru, aren't you? yeah.
You are at this point.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been our Fast Five. If you would like to send in our Fast Five, you can send those in to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Yeah. Send two emails, one with the choices and one with the choices and the context. That way we don't have to jump back and forth between the two emails. And please get those sent in because we only have one left.
So, dun, 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 dun.
And remember, if you are a first-time Fast Five sender, your name gets jumped to the very top of the list, and if you are somehow managed to slip us a physical copy of the Fast Five, we will do that one right away.
One, creepy. Two, do it.
Absolutely.
I'll have Shirley get you some this weekend.
Shirley's going to be so good. I'm so happy right now.
And it has to come from Shirley, too.
Oh, that, obviously.
Oh, now I've got a boner. This is great.
What?
Who doesn't when they talk about puppies?
I know, right?
I mean,
Susie?
Chrissy.
Indeed. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That has been our show. Thank you so very, 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 very much to Brianna and Will for taking time out of their busy schedules to come out and talk to us schmucks. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the episode, and go eat the fucking cake.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
Yay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
I am a mother pheasant plucker. I pluck mother pheasants. I am the most pleasant mother pheasant plucker that ever plucked a mother pheasant. I am not a pheasant plucker nor a pheasant plucker, son, but I'll pluck the pheasant's feather till the pheasant plucker comes.
Pluck you.
Yeah. Promises.
Pluck yourself.
This is delightful.